23, we've been looking at verse 4 and dwelling upon the presence of God in the valley of the shadow of death. You see one of the effects of that presence, again, that's the gracious presence of God. One of the effects is courage. I will fear no evil. Another is comfort. And he comforts us by taking away the fear. 2 Corinthians 1, we see that God is a God of all comfort. Comforts in a variety of ways. We need comfort because of who and what we are. We need comfort because of circumstances. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We need comfort because of what we can become, that is, the conditions that we can find ourselves in. And last week we began going through some of the Psalms where the psalmist says, I am weak, or I am, followed by a condition. In the first one there in Psalm 6, verse 2, I am weak. And you see this all through the Psalms, I am, and then a word that describes a condition. And these are a great blessing because there isn't a one of them that I cannot identify with at some time in my life. In Psalm 69 in verse 2, he said, I am come into deep waters. Therefore, he needs help. Psalm 69, verse 20, I am full of heaviness. That is, he was weighted down. Psalm 77, verse 4, I am so troubled that I cannot speak. That happens often. A child of God cannot put into words, even talking to the Lord, the trouble that they experience. And the word troubled here means to, it's like everything's coming at you at once. It's like the whole world is surrounding you. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. He said in Psalm 88 and verse 15, I am afflicted. I am distracted. Psalm 102 verse 11, I am withered like grass. Psalm 109, verse 23, I am gone like the shadow. I am tossed up and down. And then Psalm 119:83, he says, I am become like a bottle in the smoke, which means I am ready to crack. In other words, I cannot take much more. Everyone's been there. And because of these conditions that we can get into, and we get into these because of who and what we are, we need God's comfort. And it's not man that comforts us in those situations. It's God. So there is a great need of comfort. We saw on several occasions the psalmist said, I am poor and needy. And that's true of all of us. He's not speaking materially. He was a king. He's speaking the condition that he had succumbed to. But notice in Psalm 40, verse 17, he says, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord. There's the answer. Yet the Lord. And then you skip a few words. I am poor and needy. Thou art. thou art. That's where the comfort is. I am poor and needy, thou art. Psalm 70, verse 15. Psalm 70 in verse 5. But I am poor and needy. Skip a few words. He has a prayer there, but then he says, thou art. I am poor and needy. Thou art. So there's our comfort. God is our comfort. There's no need to look anywhere else. God is our comforter. As Job said to his friends, miserable comforters are ye all. And that's true of man. When you really, truly need comfort, man really can't do a whole lot for you. Miserable comforters. But God knows what we need. So when we look, consider, we see that it's the presence of God, this felt presence of God that provides this comfort. What is the basis of comfort? What is the basis of comfort? Just as the basis for courage is God, so it is with comfort. The foundation of comfort is the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 40, if we turn over there, Isaiah chapter 40. God tells Isaiah in verse 1, comfort ye, my people. He says in verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. So the mission of Isaiah at this point is to preach a message of comfort. Most would think that at this point Isaiah would tell them how wonderful they are. That's not what he does. That's not where comfort is found. Comfort is not found in lies. Comfort is found in truth. So Isaiah speaks a message of comfort to the people. And the basis of the comfort is the realization of two matters. Before they could be comforted, they had to realize these two things. Number one, something that people don't want to hear about, is the frailty and vanity of the flesh. So keep in mind, God is saying, comfort my people. And then verse 6, the voice said, cry. And Isaiah said, what shall I cry? God gives him the message. And this is where it begins. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, the word of our God shall stand forever. So he begins his message of comfort, talking about how miserable man is, how easily man fails, how weak man is. You don't comfort somebody by telling them, you're strong, you can do this. That's not what God did. The way you comfort them is, you're weak, you can't do this without God. You're weak, you can't do it. You're a sinner. So this is where he began his message of comfort. And what this is, it's a reminder that we're not to trust ourselves. We're not to rely upon, we're not to lean upon, we're not to depend upon flesh. We have to realize that if we're going to be comforted. Because it's only as we realize that, that we go to the right source of comfort. And we're reminded all through the Word of God, we are warned not to lean upon flesh, not to trust in the flesh. Do not go to the flesh for comfort. In Psalm 108, and verse 12, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. It's good to realize that truth. Vain is the help of man. That's what Isaiah, beginning his message of comfort, that's what he's reminding them of. That the flesh is weak. That's not where you find comfort. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 22, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Cease ye from man. Just don't go to man for comfort. In Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 2, that ye that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and the trust in the shadow of Egypt. So they go down to Egypt to strengthen themselves, and they trust in the shadow, they trust in the power of Egypt, but they have not asked at my mouth. They have not sought me. They have gone to the wrong source of comfort. And people do it all the time. People do it all the time. People will go to an individual for comfort, and that individual is not able to give them the comfort that they need. So they'll say, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, they weren't of any use to me whatsoever. Well, first of all, you shouldn't have depended on them. They're not that's not where your comfort is. And then people get all upset. Oh, he didn't provide comfort for them. You need to learn this lesson. The flesh is frail. That's not where our comfort is. This is where Isaiah begins. Isaiah 31:1, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay in horses and trust in chariots because they are many. In horsemen, because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. That's where our help is. And you see this in Jeremiah 36, and you see it in Hosea chapter 5 and verse 13. So he begins this message of comfort by telling them of the frailty. That's one truth we must learn if we're going to be comforted. But the other is God. To realize these two things. My flesh is frail. I cannot depend on my flesh or anyone else's. Knowing that truth, behold God. That's where comfort is. Behold God. So when you are attempting to comfort someone, you can say, well, they don't know God. That may be so. But their only hope of comfort is in Him. So you just keep declaring God. You just keep declaring God to them. And we see here in Isaiah chapter 40, after he tells them that the frailty of the flesh, he says in verse 9, the last three words of verse 9, behold your God. Now we're getting into the comfort. Behold your God. That's where our comfort is. Behold, verse 10, behold the Lord will come. Behold the Lord will. That's where comfort is. That's where comfort is. You don't tell someone everything's going to be all right. Well, first of all, you don't know that. You have no way of knowing that. It could get a lot worse. It could get a lot worse. And terrible and tragic things may happen. But what you can tell them is, behold your God. I don't know what's going to happen. It may get worse. But behold your God. That's where comfort is. And then he goes down throughout the rest of the chapter, and he talks about God. Speaks of his gentleness in verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall great and gently lead those that are with young. He focuses upon God. He says God, and he speaks of the gentleness of God. Verse 12, he speaks of the omnipotence of the Lord. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Along those same lines, he says in verse 26, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? Notice he doesn't say, lift up your eyes and behold creation, but behold who hath created. We're to look at the Creator. Look at His power. There's comfort in the power of God. There's power there. The way it goes today, someone says they are in an impossible situation. You remind them that, no, there are no impossible situations with God, and they get mad. It's unbelievable. But that's the comfort. God can. God will. We see His omniscience in verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him, and who taught Him? Someone comes to you and I for comfort, and we may have to tell them, you know what, I don't really know the answer to that. I'll have to get back to you. God has never told me that. God has never told me, I don't have the answer for your situation, but give me a little while and I'll get back to you. He knows. There's comfort in the wisdom of God. There's comfort in the sovereignty of God. Verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Speaks of the sovereignty of God, the greatness of God. Verse 18, to whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto Him? In other words, He's infinite. We see His greatness in verse 21. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He. It is He. There's comfort there. It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. We didn't need Christopher Columbus to tell us that the earth was not flat. It's right here. He sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And all these nuts today who still believe that the earth is flat, And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. But again, it's a message of comfort. And he began that message with the frailty of man. And then he turns their attention to God. To God. That's where our comfort is. And that's why in Psalm 23 and verse 4, God is with David, and he's comforted. He feels the presence of God. He acknowledges the presence of God, and there's comfort there. Next week, we'll look at the means of God's comfort. Thy rod and thy staff There's the means. They, thy rod and thy staff, comfort me. So we'll see the means of God's comfort. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you have revealed yourself to us, shown yourself to us, and you do so on a daily basis. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for revealing to us through your word. We pray that you would continue to do so, that you would always show us ourselves, show us you through your word. We pray that as we worship you today, Lord, help us to be in the right frame of mind. Help us, Lord, to be in the right spirit. Help us, Lord, to reverence you and to honor and glorify you in everything that we say and everything that we do. And Lord, we do pray that you would be gracious and merciful to us and meet with us in a very special way. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.